The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
So this segment is important, but it's also one that I know is going to probably cause me issues and may cost me friendships. That's the choice we're going to have to make as more and more of the evil gains a foothold in our society, because as it gains a foothold, it's well on its way to gaining a stronghold. And when it gains that stronghold, then it is often too strong to overcome. I had a fun career in sports journalism for a long time. I made a lot of really good friends, and I would like to have those friendships until the day I die. But I might not. I've already lost friends in the journalism profession who can't have a conversation about Donald Trump, whether he was on the heels of Barack Obama's second term or whether he's running against Joe Biden, or people who just said, you know, we're not going to have a friendship with you anymore because you think differently than I do. I'm more than willing to have that conversation and try to win on merits. But as I always say, Democrats can't win on merits because their arguments don't have merits. What I'm talking about now is a story I saw yesterday in the Dispatch about the vast expansion, these are the Dispatch's words, of Nationwide Children's Hospital's mental health initiative. Now, I want to say up front, Nationwide Children's Hospital does a lot of great things, and I'm sure they have a lot of great people working there. But they also have people working there who are turning loose onto children someone who is mentally ill and who is given status, given access, given credibility by Nationwide Children's as a mental health ambassador. This is not new. Nina West, which is the stage name of a guy who is a drag queen, has been a part of Nationwide Children's mental health initiative for years. I have decried that on this show multiple times. I hoped, when I saw the headline yesterday in the Dispatch that said, "Beyond Our Sleeves, Nationwide Children's launches Foundation for Kids' Mental Health." I thought, okay, well, maybe they're expanding this and they're going to remove Nina West from having access to kids, from having the credibility of Nationwide Children's. Because when you go on Our Sleeves website at Nationwide Children's, you're going to find out that a lot of people who have prominence, power, prestige in this city are corporate partners with Nationwide Children's in the mental health space for kids. Mental health is important for kids. I think we spend too much time like asking kids about their feelings and sort of baiting them into saying, "I'm not having a good day." But mental health is a real thing, and I'm not against like addressing children's mental health. But when I look at the corporate partners, I see the Columbus Blue Jackets. I see the Columbus Crew. I see the Memorial Tournament, Jenny's Ice Creams, Big Lots, assorted others. And it's not a tough call for me, but it's an uncomfortable call for me to tweet about this and publicize this on social media and talk about it the way I'm talking about it now, because I got friends who work in PR at the Blue Jackets. I got friends who work in PR at the Memorial Tournament. I'm friendly with some of the top people in the Memorial Tournament and Jack Nicklaus's organization. And I genuinely believe, I choose to believe, that this is something, and Jack and Barbara Nicklaus have done great things. Dublin, Ohio wouldn't exist as it is today without the Memorial Tournament, without Jack Nicklaus. Jack has done and Barbara Nicholas have done great things for Central Ohio. And I don't mean my commentary on this to come off as critical of them, because I honestly don't believe they have a clue this is going on at Nationwide Children's. I don't believe they have a clue that a mentally ill man who garishly portrays himself as a woman can then cavort around Nationwide Children's Hospital or speak to kids in groups about mental health. That is demented on the part of Nationwide Children's Hospital management. Demented. You cannot present a crazy person as someone who is an authority on mental health. You cannot. Now, a few years ago when I started talking about Nina West, I had somebody reach out, oh, you should get to know him. He's a really great guy. And then, I believe it was two Christmases ago, I noticed that there was a drag show in Florida, highly sexualized, a drag queen Christmas hosted by, what do you know, Nina West. So this was a bunch of perverted, demented, demonic people sexualizing Christmas. And I mean, it was pornographic. And Nina West was right in the middle of it, doing all this. This person that Nationwide Children's, after having the opportunity to remove them from their On Our Sleeves campaign, instead, as I showed yesterday on my Twitter account, at BHools, continue to have him pictured on the website in full costume doing this. And it doesn't like hide from the fact. It says Nina West is an American drag queen. Like, they're proud of it. And I hate this because, you know, I probably haven't talked to my colleagues. I don't know. What do you call someone who's not really a friend? You don't go out to dinner with them, but you were friends with them when you interacted with them in a professional setting. They're good guys. I got their cell phone number. They got mine. It didn't give me any pleasure. But these are the choices that we have to make. As conservatives, if we don't stand up and fight for this, then we get overrun. Because what do I always say about the left? They never hold a victory party, right? They're always pushing. Always, always pushing. Do you ever think you'd get to the day in the United States of America where a man could say they're a woman and you'd have people saying, well, yeah, it's crazy, but I can't say anything about it because at work, you know, I get it. It's a hard choice. I get it. You know, jobs, provide for your family. I get it. Let me just say, from my own personal experience, I've lost jobs because I either refused to say things I was told to say, or I've said things I was told not to say. Why did I do it? Not to be intractable. I did it because it was the right thing. I did it because it was the right thing. The ultimate discussion was not between me and my boss. The ultimate discussion was between me and my savior. And I would add, it is a lot easier to do it when you have the support of a loyal, faithful spouse who sees the world as you do. And I am enormously blessed to have that in my wife. Enormously blessed. I have been angst-ridden and nervous about losing jobs before when it came down to one of those moments in that this is what I know is right to do and I'm going to do it even though I know it's going to cost me. And I've called her and told her and she's been like, don't worry. God will deliver. And he has every single time. God is faithful. I will never leave you or forsake you. The promises that we have in the Word of God, we can hold on to. So, if my tweets yesterday about this bother good people at the Blue Jackets, at the Crew, at the Memorial Tournament, I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry because I know I'm on the side of truth here. This is wrong to to give a drag queen access to vulnerable children. If you're in Nationwide Children's Hospital or being treated there, you are by definition a vulnerable child. If you're in there for mental health issues, you are a vulnerable child. And they are allowing a person who has a mental illness to be extolled and lifted up by their endorsement of that person. It is wrong. I know why I messed that up, the math on the Ohio Christian University tuition discount, because I was sitting here reading a story about Bidenomics and the bad GDP growth number in the last quarter. We got the number, was it yesterday, 2 days ago? 1.6% real GDP growth in the first quarter, below the expectations of 2.5%. Yeah, not just below, like way, way, way below. And we'll talk about this with Josh Pick tonight on the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show at 7 o'clock. A word that has not been uttered since the Carter administration. That's a second Jimmy Carter reference on the show today. Never good when you're a U.S. president and you're mentioned in the same breath with Jimmy Carter. Stagflation is back. Now, stagflation is high inflation. They say high unemployment. We don't have high unemployment numbers, but we have a bad, in my opinion, employment situation because most of the jobs are going to illegals and most of the jobs are part-time jobs. And then the third component is slow growth. So we have slow growth. We have high inflation. The numbers say we don't have high unemployment. But again, I'm working three jobs, right? I'm doing radio. I'm selling flooring. I'm trying to share with you great stuff like Patriot Switch and Riverbend Ranch Steaks, but I get a commission on that, and I'm doing it because I believe in the causes, but I also am not averse to taking the commission check that I get when I clue you into those great products. So that's where we are, and we'll be talking about that with Josh Pick tonight. Now, you do not know the name Frank Tyson, but you're about to, because we know the Democrats are searching for a way that they can make racism the center of the 2024 presidential campaign. Frank Tyson lived in the city of Canton, and he is now deceased. He ran his car into a utility pole. He ran into an AmVets building in the middle of this week. He was belligerent, probably drunk. We'll get the autopsy report, find out what he was on. It doesn't matter. George Floyd was on enough fentanyl to kill a horse. He still was made a celebrity. Police went into the AmVets. First of all, the power pole was sheared in half by this person's car. He ran into the AmVets. He was belligerent with officers. He knocked over bar stools. He refused to go quietly. You know what happens next, right? They put him on the ground. They handcuffed him. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Well, why can't he breathe? An officer had his knee on his back for like a minute when they handcuffed him. And the guy like stroked out or heart attacked out or something, and he died. So wait till LeBron gets a hold of this. Wait till the activists get a hold of this. But this guy did what everybody who ends up on the wrong end of a police confrontation did or does. He refused to comply. He refused to comply. Put your hands on top of your head. Get down on your knees. Nothing bad will happen to you. He didn't. He fooled around. He found out. But now, of course, the police will be in the crosshairs because they can be made collateral damage in Joe Biden's attempt to white knuckle his way to hang on to a second term in the White House. However, if Joe Biden is elected to a second term, and perish the thought, questions persist as to whether or not he will be represented at the podium by Karine Jean-Pierre. New York Post today with an expose headlined, Inside the Failed White House Coup to Oust Biden Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre. Well, I can't wait for Peter Ducey to ask about this. It turns out that Anita Dunn, the wife of Biden's personal attorney, man, that dude's busy trying to keep him out of jail for classified documents and taking bags of cash from foreign oligarchs. Anita Dunn, several months ago, started to call prominent Democrats to explain that Karine Jean-Pierre needed to move on and out of her role at the White House. Now, why are they unhappy with Karine Jean-Pierre, who, if you haven't heard, is black and gay and doing an amazing job? That's at least Karine Jean-Pierre's view, not the black and gay part. She talked about that when she was historically, succeeding Circleback Psaki as the spokesperson for Joe Biden. But Anita Dunn and the chief of White House staff, Jeff Zients, have grown tired of Karine Jean-Pierre having to read her answers to questions out of the big old binder that she takes up to the podium every day. They complain that she does not research topics and cannot extemporaneously comment or answer questions from the White House press corps. Now, this is where I ask a question. If you had not prioritized hiring someone in that role who were black and gay, but had instead prioritized competency and meritocracy, would you be facing the consequences of your action? Quite possibly no. Because while I think Jen Psaki is a zealot and an idiot, and I, again, define an idiot as someone who has knowledge available to them that they choose to ignore, and Jen Psaki has that, and she chose to ignore it, all in the name of her zealotry. Apparently, Karine Jean-Pierre is not even trying. Here's a quote from a source. There was an effort to have some outside folks who Karine knows and trusts talk to her about why leaving last fall would have made a lot of sense for her and her career. She was encouraged to move along. She had been in the job for a year and a half at that point, and that is how long Psaki had the job, and she moved on. So they thought they could position this to Karine Jean-Pierre like, you're not a complete incompetent fool. It's just time for you to go because this is the time everybody goes. The job is so demanding, and you're doing such a great job, and we'd like to give you a talk show on MSNBC. Karine Jean-Pierre was not going for it, however, because Karine Jean-Pierre says that, quote, she thinks she's doing an amazing job. Well, she is, for talk show hosts like me who like to make fun of her every single day, which she makes very, very easy. Also, the White House had one other dilemma. Can you imagine what it is? Here's a source speaking to the New York Post. There's a huge diversity issue with her. They're afraid of what folks are going to say. You didn't see that one coming, did you? Unfortunately, the person said, the problem is she doesn't have a grasp of the issues and she doesn't spend the time to learn. Why would she spend the time to learn? She's a poster child for DEI. She doesn't need to spend the time to learn because, as we all know, DEI stands for, if you were being truthful, didn't earn it. They offered her a job unsolicited to becoming the president of Emily's List, a major Democratic group that raises money for female candidates who support expanded abortion rights. Wow, that like checks every box in her intersectional brain. Democratic group, raises money for female candidates, expanded abortion rights. She said no. She said no. So she's going to be up there spouting her nonsense. And by the way, you notice they had John Kirby up there since October the 7th because they actually needed somebody who could, like, speak. Kirby's worse than her because he knows better and he lies willfully. But apparently there's tension between Kirby and Karine Jean-Pierre. Black gay woman and white male. Who could have seen that coming? Who could have possibly seen that coming?
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.